Check, check. Check, check. All righty. All righty. Y'all just come out of prayer, so there's no need for me to pray. Miss Joanne, Instructor Thompson, Reverend Thompson is an excellent teacher, so we'll get right started. Class things to get out the way. Want to make sure you have the right book for this class. Book look familiar? You haven't, some of y'all look like you haven't seen this book yet.
They haven't gotten it yet?
Okay, all right. Let me tell you why you probably hadn't gotten them yet. The gentleman who wrote this book is from Malaysia. And so every time we get ready to order this book, they have to print them and we have to get them from overseas. So, you know, we ordered these books way back in June. Sometimes it just takes a while to get here. But nevertheless, you'll be getting this book. My class is going to be, all our exams are going to be open book. All right. Which simply means that, and the purpose of why I do that is because a lot of times I won't be able to cover everything in a chapter, but that doesn't mean it's not important for you to at least run across or at least read or at least get a chance to be introduced to. And so reading is awesome. I love reading, and so I want to put you in a position to read. And so most all of my exams are going to come, be open book, and they're going to come directly from the book, all right? So mine will probably be the only exam that won't be timed. You have a whole week, the whole exam week to complete it. So just heads up, of course, my purpose in this class is not to fail anybody. That's not my aim. My aim is for you to learn. And so I'm gonna put you in every possible position, a good position so that you can learn. So having said that, I'm giving you some hints. You're gonna wanna get the test. You can print it out and have it with you as you are reading. I would look over the questions, because the questions that I ask are really gonna be statements. They're gonna be filling the blanks. The statements that I bring out of the book are statements that I want you to be introduced to. Concepts I want you to understand. Concepts I want you to at least have a chance to meditate on. And so if you read the exam first, then read the chapter, you will recognize it and you'll easily pass the test, and at the same time, you'll be learning, all right? Tonight, before I even get into the book, there's a few concepts that I want to define for you so you'll understand where this book is coming from. You see the title says Alliance of Honorable Men. The word of alliance is very important because the word alliance gives an indication of covenant. We're going to talk about covenant a lot in this particular class. And one of the staples or one of the foundations of the apostolic is covenant. All right. If there is no covenant, there can be no apostolic. All right. If there is no covenant, and a covenant is just, it's not just an agreement. A covenant, matter of fact, we in the Western Hemisphere, we look at covenants a whole lot different than people in the Eastern Hemisphere. What I mean by Western Hemisphere as compared to Eastern Hemisphere, I'm talking about us in the United States. As compared to people that are in Africa, in Europe, they think of covenant in a different way. We see covenant as simply merely an agreement. But covenant is really more than just an agreement. It's bound to life and death. So now, and this is why we in America, our court system is so jammed, because we so easily forget covenant. And when we can't have our way, we're ready to get out of covenants. We're ready to get out of marriages. We're ready to get out of business deals. We're ready to get, when we can't have our way. But a covenant, watch this, the true purpose of covenant, listen to me very carefully. The true purpose of covenant is for the elimination of weaknesses.
Yes, sir.
So you being in a covenant with somebody else is not really about you. It's about you covering their weaknesses. And they're covering your weaknesses. So now that leads me to my first point that I have to clear up. The church today have to become God-centric rather than self-centric. What I mean by that? Well, most times we come to church because we need deliverance.
Right.
We want a word from God so we can solve our problems. A lot of times we only talk to God when we need something. Hope you listen to that, internet. Hope you're listening. But I'm going to prove to you tonight that that's not how the kingdom works. That's not how covenant works. And a lot of you watching by internet, and those that are in here, you'll find out that things that you're dealing with will be solved much quicker if we rearrange how we see covenant and how we see God. So now, when we read the Word of God, a lot of times we're reading the Word of God so it can benefit us. You get what I'm saying? When we face challenges in our lives, we go try to find scriptures that will fit those challenges.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
And listen, that's how we've been taught. Because the church, especially the 21st century church, has become self-centered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So what the purpose of the apostolic, let me define, I know Apostle defined it Monday, but it's good for repeating. The purpose of an apostle is to structure heaven to earth government, that's divine order, so that the portals of the supernatural can be open, so that heaven can invade earth. All right? That's the purpose of an apostle, thus leading to the apostolic. Apostolic is just a fancy way of saying kingdom. All right? So we have to become God-centric rather than self-centric. The Word of God has to become God-centric rather than self-centric. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has to become God-centric to you rather than self-centric. See, there's a purpose why Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Yes, sir.
It's just not so we can get to heaven.
That's right. Come on now.
Think about it now. Think about it. Let's think about this. If the main purpose for Jesus dying on the cross was for us to get to heaven, why are you still here?
Come on now.
Think about it. Why are you still here? So the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not ultimately, the ultimate goal is not for you to get to heaven. Are you seeing this? So now, if the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just for me to get to heaven, then what is it for? Told to Galatians 3:13. Now remember, now we're shifting from being self-centric to being God-centric. All I'm saying is we have to now participate in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven for His reasons and not for our reasons. All right. And some of you may be like, how am I going to get met? That's easy. That's the easy part. That's the easy part. All right. That's the easy part. And I'm gonna show you that. That's gonna be this easy part. All right, Galatians 3:13. Y'all ready? Let's read. Christ. Hold up. Christ has redeemed us. Listen to that, internet. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? Keep reading.
Being made a
curse for us. Uh-huh.
For it is written, cursed is everyone.
Curse of the law. If you've never known what the curse of the law consists of three things. Second death, which is eternal separation from God, sickness and disease, and poverty. Christ has redeemed us or put us back in a former position. What former position did He put us back in? The position that Adam and Eve lost.
That's right.
All right?
Yes, sir.
So if Jesus put us back in a former position that Adam and Eve lost, then that means He must have put us back, watch this, maybe, He's restored the original purpose of Adam and Eve in our lives.
That's right. All right,
so let's go to Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter, and the 29th verse. All Now remember, now we're shifting from self-centric to God-centric. When I lift my hands and worship God, it's not for God to get his attention on me.
Right.
It's for me to get my attention on him.
Come on now.
So now when I go to pray, we're going to learn this. When I go to pray, I'm not talking to God about what I need.
Yeah.
I want to find out what you need, God.
Come on now.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Genesis, the first chapter. 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, verse 27, in his own image. All right. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. That's the seed principle, all right? To you it shall be for meat. All right, so here we go from verse 26 to 29, God is explaining our purpose, explaining how we're going to get it done. Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
And so Adam and Eve now was put in a position to, it says, he told them, I think it's 28 verse, to replenish and multiply. That was not talking about having children. Listen, disclaimer, I'm going to mess up some of your religion. That's not about having children.
Whoa.
Let's think about this. Let's look at the story of Adam and Eve backwards. All right. Number one, Adam and Eve got expelled from the garden. God kicked them out. Where did they go? Out of darkness. So that means they went to outer darkness. Then there were some places that exist that wasn't Eden. All right. So that means Eden was only a segment of the earth. Eden was perfect.
Yeah.
Everything they needed was in Eden, right? What caused them to get kicked out of Eden? Think about it. Disobedience. They ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when God told them not to, okay? So being that they were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden was the perfect place to be, that simply means that Eden, watch this, Eden was training ground. They were training ground. See, God was showing them how to walk in their dominion. Now, when he was comfortable with them learning their dominion, he was going to release them in the outer darkness anyway, because now you made in my image. Just like I've created Eden, you can create Eden. Is that making sense? So now the purpose of us being here is to bring heaven to earth. That's our purpose. It's for bringing God's presence into the earth. And the only way we can bring God's presence in the earth is if we be like him. That's the only way you can contain his presence. If you have to be made in his image. You have to be made out of the same stuff he made out of to contain him. Because only he can contain he. So I can't contain, watch this. This is why the redemption of sins is so important, because sin messed us up.
Yeah.
This is why Jesus died, so that we can get back to our former position so we can contain the presence of God.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's why I'm trying to get you to see we have to become God-centric and not self-centric.
Right. Wow.
So all the faith scriptures you know, which we're about to blow up tonight, all the faith scriptures you know is not about you. It's about God. All right. You ready? Let's go. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 1. This is we call this the hall of faith.
Yes, sir.
You listen to anybody teach, they call it the hall of faith, because you see how everybody, by faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did that. By faith, by faith, by faith. All right. So We're going to start off with this 11th chapter in the first verse. Because now remember, now we're shifting from being self-centric to being God-centric. How, out of the mouth of Jesus, Matthew's the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse. Very familiar scripture. He says, seek ye the kingdom of God. Or kingdom just simply means God's ways of doing things. And his righteousness simply means doing them his way right. If we do those things, what's supposed to happen? All these things will be added unto us. So that means for things to be added to me, right? I'm going to have to seek first the kingdom. All it's simply saying is you're going to have to be God-centric. God going to have to. Now, God can't be first in your life. He has to be center. And everything else revolves around him. See, I'm not in my life saying God first, this second, this third. No, God is the center. Everything else revolves around him in my life. See, so that means I now can make adjustments in my life. I don't have to, at every decision I got to make, it ain't no hard decision for me because my first thing is I'm acknowledging him. Is that making sense? So he's not first in my life. He's the center. And everything else revolves around. Are y'all seeing this? See, it makes life a whole lot easier when you do it that way. Because now you ain't trying to please everybody. Hope this ain't been in there. You're not trying to please everybody. I'm with God. See, one of my most favorite statements in the Bible is Joshua, the 5th chapter, when he met that angel. And Joshua tried to ask him, who you with? You for them or you with us? He said, I ain't with neither one of y'all. I'm with the Lord of hosts. Now, who you with? That's being a center. So now it makes it easy to find out who I'm supposed to be in covenant with and who I'm not. Because I'm going to be in covenant with everybody who has God as the center.
Come on.
Makes life easier. Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch this now. We're shifting from being self-centered to being God-centric. So now we're going to start dealing with faith. Because I want you to know that faith, all right, let me say this. Religion is man's idea about who God is. Relationship is when he reveals himself to you. See, you have a relationship with God, so you have a right for him to reveal himself to you. But he's not going to reveal himself to you until you fellowship with him. See, relationship is just not good enough. You have to have fellowship. A relationship gives you the right to come into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus gives you the right to come in the presence of God. But being in the presence of God is no good. Being able to get in the presence of God is no good if you don't ever go there. All right, so religion is man's idea of who God is. A relationship with God allows you to experience who he is. Is that making sense? All right, so out of religion come denominations. Denomination is just man don't want to keep moving with God and want to maintain control. So what they do is they have their own set of rules and they're going around in circles. Teaching the same thing, talking about the same thing and going in circles. God don't ever move in circles. Everybody you see in the Bible that moved in circles was moving in circles because they couldn't hear the voice of God. The children of Israel. For 40 years they walked in a circle. So Hebrews 11 and 1. So now denominations want to hold people in bondage. Every denomination. Because if you don't keep moving with God, God is not staying in one spot. God is never exhausted. So therefore, if God is never exhausted, you got to keep moving with God. If you don't keep moving with God, you become stale, you become stuck, and then the enemy now has the ability to outsmart you. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
So denominations have taught us that faith was about us. Oh, you got to have faith. You got to have faith to move mountains. We'll find out that faith to move mountains, that your faith don't sort of move all mountains. What? No, your faith ain't supposed to move all mountains. Because the mountain that Jesus was talking about, he used this mountain. He was very specific. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. Because I want you to understand that a lot of times, because of our self-centric view of the gospel, everything is about us. Everything is about us. And a lot of times when we read the Bible out of our self-centric eyeglasses, from our self-centric view, we get misconstrued ideas of the word of God. If you give you an example, prime example, Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith, listen to me, internet, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. All right. Now faith is the substance of things, a key word here, of things hoped for. Hope just means some future goals, some plans in the future. Now the question is, whose hope? Now, if I'm reading it out of my self-centric eyeglasses, it's going to be what? My hope. But wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Go to verse 6. It says, but without what? Faith is what? Impossible to do what? Please him. Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And watch this. And that he is a what? Rewarder of those that diligently seek him, all right? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's stick with that phrase. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if faith pleases God, then when I go to that first verse, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now we know whose hope it's talking about. Because in that sixth verse, if faith pleases God, and then faith is the stuff that brings somebody's dreams to pass, then it's got to be talking about God's hope. Not your hope. Not your future goals. Not your plans. But his future goals. His plans. So now faith is the substance of God's hope. And watch this. It is the evidence of things not seen. So what that means? That means that when you act on your faith towards God, it's giving you evidence of what hadn't manifested in your life yet. Wow. So now you don't have to worry about if it's coming or not, because I've done what God asked me to do. Yeah. Wow. All right, so now let's define what faith is. I just want to show that example of how when we look at the Word of God, if we look at it from a self-centric view instead of a God-centric view, we get thrown off in what the scripture really means and what God is trying to really get us to see. Because if Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all these things to you, then it can't be me pursuing those things. Right. It's going to cause it to come. It got to be me pursuing God.
Come on.
Is that making sense?
Come on, man.
So let's define faith. Romans the 12th chapter. A lot of things we're going to cover in this book is you're going to see that it's going to cause for one simple word that have been wrongly defined by the body of Christ, because we define it from a world perspective or a self-centered perspective instead of a God-centric view perspective. And that word is sacrifice. See, you are living a life of sacrifice. But sacrifice don't mean I'm struggling.
Right. That's right. Come on now. Come on now.
Jesus led a life of sacrifice and wasn't broke at all. So sacrifice is not giving up your desires. Right. It's giving up how you want to fulfill your desires.
Right. Can we write that?
Watch this. Let me see if I can say it. I want to say it a little clearer than that. Sacrifice. When Jesus said a man, when a man lay down his life, when a man, well, the scripture say, when a man try to save his life, he shall what? Lose it. And a man that lose his life, do you know what that word life, L-I-F-E, is translated in the Greek? Psyche. Psyche. So a man that will lose his psyche, his train of thought about his life.
Come on, man. You better teach now. You better come on in and teach.
And the other part of that scripture is Zoe. So now, that's why Jesus said, I've come that you might have Zoe and life and have it more abundantly. See, you're gonna have to study in here. You got to study. And one, look, if you haven't gotten one yet, internet, those are watching, if you have not bought one yet or don't have access to one, get you a strong concordance. What a strong concordance would do, it will allow you to look up words in the King James Version and look up its original meaning in the Greek. And then, because the Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. And so a lot of times, based on languages, when things are translated, sometimes ideas or concepts are lost. So now, here it is. You read that scripture, when a man try to save his own life, he's going to lose it. People think about death. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about frame of thought, train of thought, how you think. So when you try to keep your way of thinking about your life, you're going to lose your life. You get that making sense? But when you lose your life, Romans 12. Is that making sense? Good. Romans the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse. Watch this. Romans 12, verse 3. The Apostle Paul is talking, and the first verse, he's telling us that we're living sacrifice. That's your flesh. That's your body. That's what you're walking in. The second verse, he's dealing with your soul. All right? He deal with your body in the first verse. He deal with your soul in the second verse to get to the third verse. Right? Watch what he says. He said, for I say through the grace given unto me, not to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That didn't say you're not supposed to think highly of yourself. Not more highly of yourself than you also think, right? Because watch this, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, 4 times is written in the word of God that the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, Galatians 3:11, Romans 1:17, and I think it's Habakkuk 2 and 4. Yeah, I think it's Habakkuk 2 and 4. It said, the just shall live by faith. Now, 4 times. Now, Habakkuk 2 and 4 says it a different way. It says, the just shall live by his faith. So now, here it is. Watch this. The just shall live by his faith, or the just shall carry out their process of life. Live by faith. So faith is not something that we can play around with and not really understand. Yeah, I know faith is believing. I get it. It's believing. That's what you got to believe. Okay, why am I believing? Yeah, faith is trusting. Okay, that's wonderful. But why am I trusting? See, believing and trusting sets you up to walk in faith. So let's define faith, because watch this now. Let's back up. The ultimate purpose for us being here is for us to give God, to carry God's presence into the earth realm. That's why an apostle structures heaven to earth, not earth to heaven, heaven to earth government, which is divine order, so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so that heaven can invade earth. Heaven invades earth through us, right? So, I don't know about you, but at some point, The supernatural has got to be able to affect the natural. That's why I'm talking about the portals of the supernatural being open so that the supernatural can affect the natural. All right? If that's the case, then faith cannot be an abstract idea. Abstract idea simply means something that I can't put my hands on. Something that faith has to be concrete. It has to be something that I can do. See, if faith remains an abstract concept, oh, baby, faith is just believing, or faith is just trusting, then it's kind of hard for me to put it into terms where I can act it out. I can, at some point, see, the supernatural is wonderful, but you got to realize the natural came from the supernatural, so that means the supernatural still can affect the natural. So if the supernatural stays in the supernatural and don't ever access the natural, then what's the use? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit if he don't help me maneuver in the natural? So therefore, faith cannot remain to be an abstract concept. It has to be concrete. So the way we're going to make it concrete, watch this. In that third verse, it says God has dealt to every man what? The measure of faith. Now, very specific, because it didn't say a measure. God has dealt to every man a measure? No, the measure. Habakkuk 2 and 4, the just shall live by his faith. All right? So here it is. What is faith then? What is faith? How am I going to understand faith? Well, let's do this. Let's replace the word faith with the word assignment. Now, before we get to doing this, that word assignment needs to work everywhere faith is.
Yeah, okay.
Everywhere we see the word faith in the Bible, that word assignment needs to work. Right? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Oh, my assignment is the stuff that brings God's dreams to pass. So my obedience to God is bringing his dreams to pass. When I bring God's dreams to pass, all these things will be added to me. You see how we've been having it backwards? We've been using faith to try to produce our house. Faith to produce my car. Faith to produce the checking account I want. Faith to produce this. Faith to produce this. It will produce that, but it's a different way it produces it. Is this making sense? So without my assignment, it's impossible. If I don't know what God wants, how can I please him? Is that making sense? Faith has just become a concrete term. So now faith is hinged upon me knowing God's will. Right?
Yes, sir.
All right, mess up your religion, mess up your theology. Every time you see the word ask in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, that's not referring to you asking God for what you want. John 15 and 7. Turn there. John 15 and 7. Because if I can find out what he wants, then I can do it. If I do what he wants, then all these things will be added to me. That's why Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about what you, that ain't mean you get in the morning. That don't mean you get in the morning. I'm just going to close my eyes and look in the closet and just, I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to pick out. No, you better match before you come out of the house. What they're saying is your focus should be figuring on how you're going to buy the clothes. It shouldn't be figuring out how you're going to buy this or how you're going to attain this. My only objective is what God wants. As I find out what God wants and I'm able to complete what God wants, he's going to add all these things to me. So now when I talk about the word ask, because see, here's the thing. When you ask for something, That means your attention, your focus is on that. If I'm looking at her notebook and I said, may I have your notebook? That means I'm going after the notebook, right? That means that's my focus. I want the notebook. So if I go to God asking for stuff, come on now. And I'm starting off violating Matthew 6:33. Is this making sense? Before we go to what I told you, go to before we go to John 57, let's go to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter, by far is my favorite chapter in the Bible, period, hands down, because it's Jesus talking, and Jesus in that chapter alone told us how to operate in the kingdom. All the rest of the Bible is really telling us how to enhance chapter 6. The rest of the Bible is making chapter 6 easier. Watch this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. How we know that? It's in red. All right? It's in red. Ain't got to be super spiritual with that one. Is in red, out of the mouth of Jesus. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. Let's go to verse 7. He said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So what Jesus is saying is, when you go to God in prayer, don't keep going to God and bothering God about the same stuff. Because you're going about it the wrong way. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, what? Before you what? Before you ask him. You know why he already knows? Because he's the one who gave you the desire. See, when he says in Psalms 34 and 7, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's a play on words, because he will give you the want for that thing, and he will give you the thing. Remember now, we made in his image. So you should desire nice things. That's built in you. You made like him. Look how he created the garden. If you go to that second chapter of Genesis, you'll see how the garden was created. It had gold and dillium and onyx. Everything was pretty, beautiful. So there's nothing wrong with designing beautiful things, because that's how you design. But how we attain those things. All right? Let's keep reading. Now we get to verse 9. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Now let's pay attention to this prayer. I got about 10 more minutes, 11 more minutes. Let's pay attention to this prayer. Let's pay attention to this prayer now, because I want you to notice something about this prayer. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now most of us have memorized this prayer. Right? It's the first prayer I learned. The first prayer Apostle taught me. I was 4 or 5 years old. I was praying this prayer before I was born again. That's the prayer he taught me. As a matter of fact, this is the prayer that got me born again, because I was praying. He said, let's get on our knees and say our prayer. I said, our Father. He said, wait a minute, God ain't your Father. I said, what you mean he ain't my Father? I said, just like that. I remember the comment. He said, what you mean he ain't my Father? He said, well, you got to have Jesus in your heart for him to be your Father. I say, well, I want him in my heart. So this prayer is more than most prayer that we grew up on. A lot of us have been in church for any length of time. You know the Our Father's prayer, right? But watch what we missed in the Our Father's prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What? Thy will be done. In earth, as it is, this is an apostolic prayer. This is divine order prayer. God, Jesus is teaching us how to access the mind of God so that we can do what he's asking us to do. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Listen to this. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. What, God? So, God, what are we going to do today? God, run this person across my path, God. And when you run across my path, God, Holy Spirit, alert me to recognize this is who God wants me to talk to. And then, Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you to let me know what to say. Because I am a carrier of the kingdom. I'm a carrier of God's presence. Is it making sense? So watch this now. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, people got problems with that part. Lead us not into temptation. What that part is really talking about is giving us an understanding of our purpose here on earth. See, one of the fallacies that we have as Christians is that we're not supposed to face nothing. So if we're not supposed to face nothing, then watch this. If God, Adam and Eve were supposed to stay in the garden forever, then why was there an outer darkness? See, God was supposed to train Adam and Eve to walk in their dominion that he designed them to be in. And then when they were released, see, they didn't really need to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God was going to teach them all that. But what man, we find ourselves in Adam and Eve, we don't wait on God. We want to figure it out ourselves. We got our own psyche. Are you seeing this? So therefore, watch this. When it says lead us not into temptation, God, please don't put me in a position that I can't handle. But he will not. Jesus is saying, I want God put me in a position that whatever I face, I will be able to handle with your help. Are you getting it? All right. Watch this now. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What or where do you see in that prayer does it mention anything about you personally? You don't find nowhere in that prayer where it's talking about your personal stuff. Nowhere in that prayer. So why do we keep praying, going to God and asking God for stuff? Come on, internet. Come on. I'm Bible. Self-centric. So now, if I'm always going to God, asking God for stuff, that means my focus is not on him, but on me and what he can do for me. Is that making sense? And so now we can't even get through the rest of this chapter. Because now he start talking about, look at the bird. The birds don't have to. Now watch this. The bird, God don't put the worm in the bird's mouth. Right. But God makes sure the bird have access to. Hallelujah. All right, I got a few minutes left. So here we in the sixth chapter, all right? We've already read the seventh verse where it says God already knows what we need before we ask. So Jesus gave us a way to pray. Now, he's not saying you got to pray that way every morning or whatever. But what he's saying is that ought to be a skeleton. Your prayer ought to sound something like that. All right. Go to verse 32. Verse 32. It says, therefore, take no thought. That's 31. Let's go to verse 31 because it's a good one too. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. I love this scripture. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek? Now, people who religious and want to talk against prosperity or want to talk against having nice things or God ain't worried about none of that. No, Jesus qualified this statement. He said the Gentiles seek after all these things. After what thing? Houses, cars, land, a nice bank account, the nice clothes. They seeking after all those things. Because they're not seeking Jesus. They don't know they need Jesus. That's our job to let them know. He said the Gentiles seek after all these things, right? Look what Jesus said. Now this is out the mouth of Jesus. He said, for your heavenly Father knows, look, that you have need of all what things? Whatever the Gentiles seeking. He knows that you have need of. Matter of fact, he knows you have need of them before you ask him.
That's right.
So Jesus is saying, don't waste your time asking him about that. But that word but eliminates everything that was in front of it, right? So it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Last scripture, John the 15th chapter. Let's deal with the word ask. Let's deal with the word ask. John 15 and 7. Watch this. John 15 and 7. Jesus talking again. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That's relationship and fellowship. Ye shall ask what ye will. Now, based on our self-centric reading of the Word of God, we've been trying to take that scripture and say, if I read the Word of God, I spend time with the Word of God, then when I go to him, I can ask him what I want, and he's going to do it for me. That ain't what that's saying. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, that means we have the same train of thought. We have the same, now this is a key word, we have the same agenda. So now when I go to God and I'm asking him for what I want what he wants. When I ask, when I go to him asking for what he wants, that's when things are, he'll do the. Because see, watch this. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, if I get this done unto me, that means I've sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then I said the last scripture, but, you know, Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36 says, for ye have need of what? Patience. Wait till everybody get there. I want you to see this. For ye have need of patience that what? After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Word might there means it's conditional. You know what that word might there is for? If you ain't desiring nothing, then he gonna give you nothing. See, I'm not taking away your desires. I'm taking away how you get your desires fulfilled. I'm changing your thought process.
Yes, sir.
I'm changing your thought. I'm changing your psyche.
Yes, sir.
The way you go about doing things. So now, watch this. Some of y'all about to get free with your jobs and your businesses.
Yes, sir.
So now you're not going to that job for that check. You going to that job because that is your mission field. So now, while I'm on my mission field, I have to, watch this, I have to fit in. So I can't go to acting a fool.
Right.
I can't be, I can't be the lazy employee.
Right.
I can't be the one always causing problems.
Right.
I have to be the one that is carrying the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
So that I can be a witness.
Yes, sir.
So that, because I'm a carrier of the kingdom.
Yes.
I'm a carrier of God's presence. So that in this place, nobody else may not be carrying his presence, but I know because I'm here, I'm carrying his presence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if I'm not there because of why God wants me there,
yeah,
then his presence won't ever be released, because my mind is not on his presence being released. My mind is on getting this check.
Come on.
So now the job is your source, and we know how that works. Instead of God being your source, because when I'm closing here, when I make my business, my job, my mission field, now I'm able to seek first the kingdom of God. Does that mean I go around not doing my job? No, that's not what that means. What that means is I'm doing my job so that I can be an example. So that means I'm not going to complain about my manager.
Come on, sir.
I'm not going to be complaining about my coworkers.
Right.
You know, get up in the morning and say, God, I'm praying for my coworkers this morning, because the more you complain about your coworkers, the more they're going to act up, because they're the ones you're supposed to be reaching.
Right. Wow.
Is that making sense? All right. So now we know we got to shift from being self-centric to being God-centric. Means God is the center, all right? Faith is no longer an abstract term. We're going to keep talking about this next week, but faith is no longer an abstract term. It's a concrete term, all right? It's my assignment. So now, what I need you to do for me is I want you to run reference on the word faith. Run a reference on the word faith. If you got a good Bible, in the back of your Bible, you go to the index, and you look up faith, and they give you a bunch of scriptures on faith. Just simply go through those scriptures and replace the word faith with the word assignment, all right? And a lot of those scriptures are going to open up to you. All right, a lot of scriptures are going to open up to you. It's going to make sense to you. But now it's also going to mess with your theology, because now you're going to see that it's not about you. It's about him, all right? So run reference on that for me next week, and I look forward to seeing y'all next week. Y'all have a good night. Thank you all. Thank you all. Amen. Do anybody have any questions about school, anything?